Sports on the Morning Show, and we're coming to you from our Superior Bureau. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Reading is often a solitary thing, but expressing your love for books doesn't have to be. Straight across the country, there are these incredible book festivals, big and small, and we're headed to downtown Green Bay for the four-day Untitled Town Book and Author Festival. Over the weekend, festival goers can choose from a whole long list of readings and discussions, workshops, other events for writers and readers. Do you plan to go to the festival? What sessions do you look forward to? And Green Bay, let's hear from you. What does this festival mean for your city? Join in at 800-642-1234. Amy Mazzariello and Rebecca Meacham are founding board members and current co-presidents of the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival. In their day jobs, Amy is the event planner and book buyer for Green Bay's independent bookstore, The Reader's Loft, and Rebecca is chair of English and director of creative writing at the UW Green Bay. Amy and Rebecca, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, Rebecca, let's start with you first. Take us to this book festival. What's the vibe and how did Untitled Town get started?
Oh, the vibe right now is very excited because we're just about to launch. I'll tell you a little bit about the history, our origin story. It's really true to our values, too. It started off with a conversation between one of our founders, who is a writer and event planner for a corporation, writing in a coffee shop, and the owner of the coffee shop coming over and noticing she was writing there in the coffee shop. And like so many other people in coffee shops, there were other writers all over in different tables doing writing. And they kind of started talking and realized, look around us, there are so many people here who are all in this space in downtown Green Bay doing the same thing, excited about writing, but they're not talking to each other and they're not able to connect. So those two then reached out to other folks like myself and to Amy and to our treasurer who has a license plate. She works for a bank, but her license plate says, I'm a poet. And our executive director of the Brown County Library, and pulled us all in, and we all came together and said, what can we do to create a situation where writers can talk to writers, kids can connect to their favorite celebrity author, we can bring headliners to the people of Green Bay, and we can also do something for this city that, in addition to the story of the Packers, gives some platform for the stories that people want to tell and hear. So we began from there.
Amy, how have you seen this book festival kind of take on a life of its own and really morph into something special?
That's interesting. Excuse me. When I first came back to Green Bay, I grew up in the area and left and then, you know, came back like many people do. And when I first started working in the industry again here, I noticed that there was kind of a deficit for, you know, author events and people coming into town and celebrating books and things like that. And I thought it was a bit odd. And from there, just sort of kind of in a real natural way, found myself getting deeper and deeper into this culture of books and writing and promoting authors and things like that, and had started really getting into it with the Fox Cities Book Festival, and had worked with that group for a number of years, and then was given the opportunity by our founding members to help with this, and it's just kind of taken a life on all its own. And it's really wonderful to see how excited people in our area get over this festival. I think it took us all by surprise at first because we are Title Town. Yeah. You know, we are often associated with the Packers, which is wonderful, but there's so much more to the community than you know, the football season. And this festival has really shown that and has really brought attention to folks who didn't know they were sitting next to another reader, writer, book lover, you know, many days of the week. So it's been really great.
We're talking with Amy Mazzariello and Rebecca Meacham. They're founding board members and current co-presidents of the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival in Green Bay. It starts tomorrow, runs through Sunday. There's a line for you on this at 800-642-1234. Do you attend book festivals for writing workshops or to get a book signed or for another reason? Are you attending the Untitled Town Festival? What are you looking forward to? You can call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Amy, you're also a book buyer for an independent bookstore. How do book festivals impact local indie bookstores and local businesses?
Well, it really gives us the opportunity to have those one-on-one conversations with our customers and with our, you know, people that use our store for various book events or writing groups or, you know, things like that. So it gives us a real opportunity to become part of the conversation. People get really excited when they know, you know, especially book groups, they're very loyal readers, of course, and when they know that somebody that they, you know, that they valued and really enjoyed is coming to town, it's exciting for them. But yeah, it keeps the conversation alive. There's so much, you know, people always say it must be really hard to work in the independent book industry with, you know, Amazon and ebooks and things like that. And it is, but like anything else, you know, people really adhere to their passions. And books are you know, are a passion for many people. So it's nice to be a part of that experience.
Rebecca, how is this book festival really an outlet for authors and writers to converge, you know, both new and more established writers? How does it help them?
Oh, it's great for that. One of the things we found, just to kind of come to the like a result of all of this, is that we do surveys after each of our festivals, and we get lots of feedback from our participants. And what we have found is the writers, especially who come to our panels and workshops, or maybe they're young writers and they don't know if they want to be a writer yet, and or maybe this year we've got some workshops special to writing for the veterans experience, writing with faith, writing for retirees. What we found from these surveys is that people come seeking a community, and they end up finding one. And what's so amazing is these connections last all year long. They make plans to meet up again at the festival. And this is only our third year. And so this is, to me, like tremendous that this is becoming like an author reunion site, and people are maintaining their connections and forming feedback groups across the United States for the, they're keeping Untitled Town sort of in their hearts and carrying it away with them. And then converging here, it's like we just exist in April for them. They actually have maintained this. And what's great is that we try to program deliberately to talk about the professional side of writing, not just the process. I'm a writer myself. I've attended book festivals as a writer. We talk about, so those things are really key, like inspiration and process and craft. But then we also make a deliberate effort to connect people to editors and publishers. We have my literary agent is coming in from New York City for the second year in a row. And to our huge surprise last year, we thought, well, he'll show up and we'll see if anyone comes. And there were 50 people crammed into the space that we honestly had no idea would fill so much. People were so excited to talk to somebody with expertise and help guide them to the next stage of their writing journey. So we do try to make sure that we're covering kind of all aspects of being a writer and the writer's life and writer's successes and pitfalls to publishing and past the publishing.
We're talking about the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival. It gets underway tomorrow in Green Bay. The co-presidents of the festival stay with us, Amy Mazzariello and Rebecca Meacham. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Authors, are you attending to connect with readers about what they like? Or do you meet up with other authors to discuss the craft of writing? What are you excited about? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back in just a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about book festivals and their impact on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Literary festivals have been growing in popularity across the country over the past decade. Miami's is the biggest and one of the oldest. It brings in about 600 writers, attracts hundreds of thousands of people. Do you attend book festivals for writing workshops or to get a book signed or for another reason? Do you have a signed book that you absolutely cherish? What did that author write? What authors or sessions are you most excited about? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Amy Mazzariello and Rebecca Meacham stay with us. They are founding board members and co-presidents of the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival in Green Bay. Rebecca, this festival has had Margaret Atwood. It's had R.L. Stein, famous for Goosebumps, like the Stephen King of children's literature, and other big names in the past. So yes. Those are big headliners. Who do you have this year?
Oh, we're so excited. So we have the legendary Walter Mosley, famous for all sorts of stuff. His current book is John Woman, but of course he does the E.Z. Rollins double with the Devil in a Blue Dress mystery series and everything else. We have Jamie Ford. We have Susan Orlean, who I am personally extremely excited about because her book, The Library Book, is just a marvel of a mystery and a memoir, and it's just delightful and wonderful and warm. We have Rebecca Mackay, whose book, The Great Believers, is receiving incredible. It's a novel. It's receiving all these recognitions, just won the L.A. Times Book Fiction Award, was a finalist for the Pulitzer. And that's actually allowing us to collaborate with the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin. And we're going to have someone from their group introduce her because that's a real key cause to her, given the subject of the book. And we also have Andrea Gibson, and they are a performance poet and just a rock star in that world. And so that's going to be a really exciting event. That event's actually sold out in terms of the free general admission tickets that we have. It's full. Those are just a few of the folks that I'm really excited about in terms of headliners. There's more, but those are my top five.
Does it give you a little chill when you reel in a big author? Like, oh my gosh, we just landed another one. It keeps you going.
when this was our first year and we somehow fell backward into the luck of getting both Margaret Atwood and Sherman Alexie. And we just, I still can't believe I say that out loud. I have a picture of my kids who had no idea who, they were 8 and 10. They had no idea who Margaret Atwood was. And I have a picture of Margaret Atwood standing behind my children and she's doing bunny ears over one of my daughters. And then the other one's crossing her eyes. And I'm like, yeah, that's Margaret Atwood. We have this incredible thing. So I think we do get starstruck. During the festival, we're running around so much that we don't really have as much time for awe as we probably would like, but it's amazing. It's absolutely magical.
Amy, what kind of workshops are available this year?
There are workshops for kids. There's workshops for science fiction and fantasy writers. There's workshops for retirees, for veterans, all sorts of craft talks and all kinds of great things to be had. Actually, I got an email yesterday from somebody who came onto the scene a little bit late, and they're a writer, and they look at the website, and there's a lot of information there. It was a little bit overwhelming at that moment for this person, and they asked, is this something for me? Is this something that can help me further my career? And it took me all of about 4 seconds to respond, yes, absolutely, this is for you. This is for writers. This is for readers. This is for, everybody. Tonight we have an event, or I'm sorry, tomorrow night we have an event, a music event at the Tarleton Theater with Michael Perry, who is a Wisconsin favorite, who is coming in with his band to perform our benefit show because, the festival does cost money, and he's coming in to provide the benefit concert, which is storytelling and music. So whether you're a music lover it's just, this festival is for everybody. It's really great.
One of this year's panels will discuss a lack of diverse narratives in books. And Amy, how is the festival trying to promote more diversity?
We have, we call ourselves Untitled Town, in a place that is, that on the map you know, we are seen as title town for the Packers. And there's so much diversity in our community. And, you know, the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival works really hard to include everybody, to include all sorts of genres and, you know, topics. We have the, Rebecca, you might want to talk a little bit more about this, the Resistors program.
Yeah, can I jump in? Because one of the things we're really excited about is this year, we go after our headliners. We make sure that prominence is given, that headliners that are representing a diversity of experiences are right there on the marquee. But and we run a lot of panels that also are like meant to kind of get to, we need diverse books and diversity in children's writing and all of this stuff. But we are very excited about this event that is the United Resistors, and this is a Green Bay group of young women, Somali refugees, and they have this they put together this book called The First Winter. These are writers who are 15 to 25 years old. They are young writers in the Green Bay schools. And so they are going to be, and the attention that this is getting has been amazing. We're so excited to be able to showcase and see the overwhelming interest in the experiences of a really like underrepresented contingency in our area. So the United Resistors are going to be, Amy and I were talking the other day about, we're not sure if we're going to have enough space. We're putting them in a space that can accommodate about 100 people, and the overwhelming interest in their event among all of our events that are meant to be inclusive is really just amazing. And I want to say one other thing too. The idea about just inclusivity generally comes down to even our attempt to choose venues that are fully accessible. When we're thinking about a Writing the Veterans Experience or anyone else coming to any of our events, we want to make sure that the people can get to them. So we really do try to think quite thoroughly about where in downtown Green Bay people can get to the third floor and how they're going to do that and so forth.
Is there a space for people who appreciate audiobooks or ebooks? I mean, what does a book festival look like in the digital age, Rebecca?
Ooh, fascinating. Well, the first, I don't know, I mean, the audiobook and ebook thing is kind of a separate thing only because, like, I love The Library Book, for example, by Susan Orlean, and that's a gorgeous book, like, as a book, but I the way I know it is through audiobook. So and Susan Orlean reads it, and so you can hear me fangirling, but it's really, really great. But what we did the first year and what we are continuing to do, especially next year, is invite podcasters to our festival. So we've had, like, Jason Gotts does a book, an author-related, nationally known author-related podcast. He came, I forget what year, one of the two other years that we've had a festival. And then we had two authors who do this podcast called Book Fight, and they did a live broadcast or podcast or whatever you want to call it. So we do try to work those elements in. But I also want to make a pitch. I'm a little old school, as you might be able to tell, and we also, on the flip side of this, try to do, like, we have a bilingual bookmaking workshop. We have printmaking workshops. So we go hi-fi and lo-fi as much as we possibly can.
Well, Amy, after organizing this festival for a couple years, what have you learned about book festivals?
Well, I've learned that it takes a lot of people to make it happen. We've really landed on some great collaborators in the area, and everybody gets very excited about it. And when I reach out and talk to authors to invite them, they've already heard about it. They're already excited, and it doesn't take them much time at all to jump on board. For example, William Kent Kruger, who's coming from the Twin Cities, he's pretty well known mystery detective series writer. He was over the moon excited that this year worked for him. I invited him last year, and it didn't quite work. He was actually up for the Minnesota Book Award, so he had to be there. Shocking. But anyway, so he did, he's excited. Nicholas Butler, another Wisconsin favorite, but world-renowned author is coming, and he's excited, and it's just nice. I mean, people really get excited to be a part of Untitled Town, and it's only in its third year, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. We're about out of time, Rebecca, but the last elevator pitch.
Super quick. Well, definitely come to it. It's amazing. But I just wanted to thank what Amy was saying. We have hundreds of volunteers, so many sponsors throughout the entire region who are really excited, too. And I think that's the surprising thing is the buy-in from all different kinds of people to help make the festival and come to the festival.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both much.
No, thank you.
Amy Mazzariello and Rebecca Meacham are founding board members, current co-presidents of the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival in Green Bay. It starts tomorrow, runs through Sunday. Coming up, we'll look at the value of book festivals with a pair of children's authors who are set to speak at the festival in Green Bay. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. On the morning show. We're live from our studios in Superior. I'm Kate Archer Kent. There are hundreds of book festivals in the U.S. each year. Some of them cater to children and families. We've stopped in Green Bay for the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival that opens tomorrow. And we're talking with two children's authors now who will be there this week. What do the children in your life need from the books they read? What questions do you have? Do you go to book festivals with kids? And what do you seek out? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Miranda Paul and Baptiste Paul are the authors of multiple books for kids, and they've written two books together. Their latest they co-authored is called I Am Farmer, Growing an Environmental Movement in Cameroon. Miranda and Baptiste, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
So on Friday, you'll be speaking at the festival about the latest children's book you co-authored. Baptiste, can you tell us about your inspiration for I Am Farmer? Where did it come from?
The inspiration came from just Farmer Tonto himself and his life work and what he does for his people on the ground in Cameroon. This man has saved tens of thousands of people's lives through access to clean water, sustainable agricultural practices. He's just an amazing man overall.
So what do we learn about Farmer Tonto and his life?
He has put himself out there, and he has a way of connecting with children. And he will join us on the book tour. He's actually joining us on the book tour right now. We're in Edgar, Wisconsin right now. And when he's presenting to kids, he just has this funny way of just reaching them and connecting them. And it's just warm watching him on stage present.
So, Miranda, today he is really an environmental hero, bringing clean water and gardens to the Central African nation of Cameroon. What led you to his story?
So, for 1 year during his studies in the United States, he was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we got to see a presentation on Cameroon. We took our kids, actually, to see one of his presentations for children. He has a way of working in which he motivates the young people in his communities to join this environmental movement. And even while he was here studying 8 years ago, he was doing programs for children here. And I think it's really an important part of his work in bringing, you know, sustainable agriculture and water is that he's making sure he educates people and inspires people along the way to join him. So he has gone from one person to this network of thousands of people, each individually planting their own gardens at home or passing that knowledge on. And that ripple effect is really one of the takeaways from I Am Farmer.
Did you find, Miranda, that the book was easier to write because he is such a colorful person? He has such a rich story to tell.
It was easy to say, yes, we'd love to write that book and have that passion. But I think writing books for children is something that's deceptively simple, especially when you're the first person writing a biography about someone who's never been written about before, and they live and work in a very remote place, and you need to travel there. So writing the book wasn't necessarily any easier. You know, I've written 17 of them now, and actually I think it kind of gets harder each time because you push yourself a little harder and you expect more of yourself and your books. And even though people look at them and say they're short or they're simple, they're one of the hardest forms to write out of all the different kinds of writing I've done in the last decade.
Because every single word has to count in children's literature.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Baptiste, what should readers of all ages take away from this story?
Oh, readers. I think readers of all ages should at least take away the fact that they all can go out into the communities and do something and change and start a movement. And that's what this whole book is about. You can start really small and do something that can have a big impact on the lives of other people.
We're talking with Miranda and Baptiste Paul. They're co-authors of the new children's book called I Am Farmer, Growing an Environmental Movement in Cameroon. And we want to hear from you. What do you want to know about being a children's book author? And young readers, there's a line for you. What do you want the people who write books for you to know? If an adult is able to help you, call. The number is 800-642-1234. You can email your thoughts to ideas@wpr.org. Baptiste, this story features gorgeous illustration, really vibrant colors, rich green during the rainy season, the deep brown of the soil, the lighter greens and yellows of cabbages, bananas. What's involved in making these illustrations?
Part of the process for both Miranda and I, we had to travel to Cameroon to see and document and research what was going on the ground. So that was very important to us. And we took lots of photos and videos because for us, it's really important when we write about someone else's culture that we do represent them correctly. And those photos and those images, we did turn into the publisher and the illustrator actually used them in the book just to be accurate about Tanto's culture and his experience and his people.
Miranda, I'd like to give a shout out, if I could. I'd love to give a shout out to the illustrator. Her name is Elizabeth Zunon. She also illustrated One Plastic Bag about environmentalist Isatou Cisse and the book The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind, which was by William Kamkwamba. And she really does a great job at bringing out not only the culture, but just little details from these nonfiction stories that only if you were the researcher, you'd notice, wow, what care she put into making sure little details get in the book.
Go ahead, Baptiste.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, we actually got to see her present a little bit in the process of illustrating this book. And she takes photos of herself in different positions with things on her head, different stands in the field, just so she can capture the right lighting on the facial features of Farmer Tonto. It's just a lot of what goes into illustrating a book like this.
Did Farmer Tonto have insights, Miranda, on the images in the book, on the illustrations?
Yes, actually. We communicated with him before this book was written, as it was written, and during the revision process. And we'd sent him some of the sketches, and he'd let us know if there was anything that was inaccurate, and we'd give some changes, like, oh, maybe some more foliage over there, you know, because he's always planting lots of gardens, and now they've really grown up. So just, you know, some small things. But overall, a lot of it was just Elizabeth Zunon really got it right, and that's important to us, like Baptiste said, to just make sure that when you write a story like this and you're bringing facts or truth to kids, to try to make it as close to that truth as possible.
What is Farmer Tonto's life like today, Baptiste?
Oh, his life today. Right now, he's working on an eco lodge right now in Cameroon. And he's here with me right now. We're in Edgar, Wisconsin. We have school visits today. And he's actually traveling, inspiring kids all around the country. But his life today, I would say he would probably use the word fulfilling a lot, because he's very grateful that he can reach out to so many kids and inspire so many kids in the U.S. and around the world.
Well, this festival on Titletown will include a discussion about the need for diversity in literature, that there aren't enough diverse children's books. According to the Cooperative Children's Book Center, just 11% of kids' books published last year featured Africans or African Americans. 7% featured Hispanic characters. Miranda, you know, how can we change this trajectory in providing more diverse voices in literature for children?
Yeah, so the year I began working in the industry, the New York Times published this op-ed titled something like, "The Picture Book is Dead," and things look bleak, you know, competition of digital media, where books going away. But 2 years ago, now an industry expert is declaring we're in this golden age of picture books, and children's book sales are generally up. So an organization that I'm a founding member of is called We Need Diverse Books, and it's basically formed to combat those statistics that have come out from the CCBC and other places where, you know, a lot of diverse books that are created maybe aren't accurate, or the ones that are created maybe aren't getting the same marketing push that some of the other books are getting, and that We Need Diverse Books helps to share and promote some of those multicultural or inclusive titles, and they have an app for finding diverse books that are out there, so you can buy them, because I think buying them is one of the best ways that you can show your support for the diverse books by Own Voices authors that are out there, asking for them, going into your bookstore, and if they don't have a particular book that you're looking for, you know, just ask for it at your bookstore. And I see picture books especially as being a driving force for diversifying the industry, because a picture book has the potential to reach readers really quickly, from a young child to an English language learner to an elderly adult who might read it to a child or a classroom of children. And not everyone finds time to read multiple novels a month, but a family or a community can easily read a picture book every day. And that's a way in which we can get young readers seeing on the page with those visuals. And then they'll grow into readers that will read books that are mirrors of themselves and their experience, but also windows that are a window into another culture or another country or another world, or the experience of their neighbor who lives right next door that maybe they don't know anything about. So I encourage people to look at We Need Diverse Books. It's diversebooks.org. Download the Our Story app to find some great diverse books that are out there already.
And let's pause. We have to pause right there. Miranda and Baptiste Paul, co-authors of the children's book called I Am Farmer. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a new or up-and-coming author? Will you be attending the book festival in Green Bay? And what do you hope to get out of it? Do you enjoy connecting with authors? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. We're talking about the role of book festivals, specifically the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival that starts tomorrow in downtown Green Bay. A new report from Scholastic says that nearly half of kids and parents with kids want more books with diversity. Just 11% of children's books published in the U.S. last year featured Africans or African Americans. 7% featured Hispanic characters. Do you seek out children's books that tell more diverse stories? How do you find these books, and how do your young readers respond? Join in at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We're talking with children's authors Miranda and Baptiste Paul. Their new book is called I Am Farmer, Growing an Environmental Movement in Cameroon. And Miranda, I had to cut you short there as you were wrapping up your thoughts on diversity in children's literature. Is there something more you want to add there?
Well, I just think that it's actually a really exciting time in some ways, because I feel like a lot of Own Voices writers are finding their way. We've got a program at We Need Diverse Books that's a mentorship program, and several of those upcoming voices have now found footing in the industry, publishing their books, or they've got good agency representation. And I think that a lot of the books, the exciting diverse books, are out there. They just might not be getting the big media splash. So just dig a little harder and take a look, and you'll find hopefully the book that you want. And if it's not there, feel free. Right now is a time for people looking to get into children's books. They should consider telling their story through that media.
Baptiste, let's circle back to the festival this week. What does a book festival mean to authors?
For me, it means that it's a way to connect with just other authors. And it also means that I get to reach so many different children. Events like Untitled Town, like book festivals, like present those unique opportunities, not just like I said, just to connect, but you never know who you're going to meet or who you're going to inspire when you're at that event. And usually when I'm at an event like this, other festivals or other people that I do know do reach out and ask for a speaker or someone that I know and I can recommend. So events like Untitled Town present those unique opportunities to hear other presenters present, and you can recommend them down the road to someone else who needs a presenter. So those connections are very important.
Miranda, what does it mean for your relationship with your readers at these book festivals?
For me, anytime I get to connect with readers, special things happen. I write for kids, and they are so smart and so inspiring and give me a lot of hope for our world. And, you know, we no longer live in this era of writers holing up in their cabins and being antisocial. At least I don't. I can't. But as introverted as I am, and I know discoverability is an issue, festivals like Untitled Town kind of force us out of our basements and our corner coffee shops and into the real world where our books really do touch these lives or make a difference. And so at places like Untitled Town, it's inspiring to see kids and adults gathering in the name of books in this era when we have so many other distractions. Everybody's there to celebrate the printed book or the story. And that's even more beloved for me when it happens in your hometown, because Green Bay is my hometown.
You also, Miranda, had a book come out this week with illustrator Jason Shin called 9 Months Before a Baby is Born. And you're having a birthday party for it at the festival. Can you tell us about what the story explores?
Yes. So can you imagine me querying my editor saying, hey, I want to write a book on fetal development for four-year-olds. but that's sort of what it was. It's a look at the development of a baby month by month, and it's accessible and appropriate for young children. It's, you know, the kind of book you might give at a baby shower, for example. But it's the book that I wanted 10 years ago when I was pregnant with my son, and I was getting those really scientifically accurate baby center drawing emails week by week, you know, how big is my baby now? And I thought, what about the young child who's about to become a big brother or sister? Where's this scientifically accurate book for them, but yet it's accessible? It's not, you know, where did the baby come from book, and it's not, you know, just one of those I love you so much books. It's something in between where they can really grasp the facts, the realistic images, and Caldecott honoree Jason Shin has really knocked it out of the park with those incredible actual size illustrations in the book.
So I have to ask you, what will this birthday party involve at the book festival?
You know, we'll have probably lots of families and babies. We'll have some, you know, free posters, free stuff. Everybody loves, you know, free bookmarks and stuff like that. We'll sing happy birthday. We'll, of course, have a book reading. And, of course, you can expect treats, because that's what we do at a birthday party. So kind of just a good time meeting people, kids having a good time, and the book being the central feature.
It's so much camaraderie, and so many people who are like-minded love books all together. It sounds wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, Miranda and Baptiste, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Miranda Paul and Baptiste Paul are the authors of multiple books for children, and their latest co-authored book is called I Am Farmer, Growing an Environmental Movement in Cameroon. And they'll appear together on Friday at the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival at 10 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The festival is also hosting a birthday party for Miranda's new book called 9 Months. And for more information about the Untitled Town Book and Author Festival, there's a link posted on the Morning Show page on WPR.org. Electronic medical records can reveal a lot about a patient's medical history, like their medication list, lab results, and immunization status, but those records don't typically tell much about a patient's personal story. Bram Sable-Smith, reporter, one program in Madison, that's changing that.
In 1974, Ray Miller bought himself a tiny airplane. It only weighed about 500 pounds, and it was built with a Volvo engine by high school students in Chicago.
Well, I flew it for 10 years. I flew it all over the place.
How did you learn to fly?
with this, by myself.
Really?
Miller's sitting in his bed in the VA hospital in Madison, telling this story to Thor Ringler, who's interviewed hundreds of the veterans who come to this hospital about their lives. With Ray Miller, that includes a lot of talk about flying.
It was almost like you were a bit of a daredevil as a flyer.
No, I wasn't. I just was out having fun. See the neighbors out there, I'd land in their hayfield and talk to them a while, maybe give them a ride or whatever.
Ringler runs a program called My Life, My Story. He and his team have interviewed over 2,000 patients like Ray Miller. Then they write up those stories and put them into the patient's electronic medical records.
If you're a healthcare person, if you're someone who's in the record all the time, you'll know that the record is a mess.
Doctors, nurses, and other caregivers have access to a lot of medical data through a patient's electronic medical record. But Ringler says there's nowhere for a patient to talk about themselves and about their life.
If you were to try to get a sense of someone's life from that record, it might take you days.
And that's the problem My Life, My Story is trying to solve. The idea came from a medical resident named Elliot Lee, who was on a rotation at the hospital in 2012. Medical residents only spend about a year on rotation at the VA. And while those doctors rotate in and out of the hospital, the patients stay the same. So, as Lee says,
patients are constantly meeting new doctors every year.
And establishing a new relationship every year. But when a provider can read about their patient's life when they review their medical files, it can give those relationships a head start.
I consider it a gift to the nurses and the doctors who are caring for the patient.
Heather Coates studies storytelling in healthcare at the University of Colorado.
The system doesn't allow you to have time. So here's a one-page document that talks about who the patient is, not just how the patient is.
There's research that suggests storytelling can both be therapeutic for patients and also build empathy in clinicians. And Coates says that empathy can be important. One 2008 study, for example, examined what happened when radiologists were given a photo of the patients whose scans they were reading.
They improved the accuracy of their radiology read, meaning less misspelled words, a better report that's more detailed.
And Coates says there's currently research being done to see if storytelling might have a similar effect. Meanwhile, at the VA in Madison, a 2017 survey showed 85% of clinicians thought reading the stories Thor Ringler's team provides is both a good use of clinical time and also helped them improve patient care. Or as Thor Ringler says it, the stories are
giving providers a much better sense of who their patient was and how to talk to them.
And the idea is catching on. Ringler says the program is now being implemented at 40 VA hospitals around the country. His team developed the training material. And even staff from hospitals outside the VA system have come to Madison to learn about the program. For WPR News, I'm Bram Sable-Smith in Madison.